chapter 3, verse 16. Our text before us this evening is Malachi 3, 16 to 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, because between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. The context in which we find ourselves is the people of Israel had returned from their Babylonian exile. They had returned to the land some 100 years earlier, the first ones that had come back. And the temple had been reestablished and rebuilt, and the worship had commenced and was running in the temple. But yet, you would think that after a captivity of 70 years in Babylon, that they would worship correctly, that they would honor God the way they should, that they would fear God the way they were trained to. They rejected him. They turned their backs on him. And how did they do that? Well, just flick back with me and we can just look at some of the context. First of all, chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord says, I have loved you. But you say, how have I loved you? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. And so out of God's election, he has chosen this people. Yet look what happens. They defile his name. So what they do is they look down there at verse 6, second half of verse 6. The Lord says to the priests, O priests who despise my name, you have despised, how have we despised your name, you may ask. Verse 7, you've defiled the food upon my altar. They were bringing blemished sacrifices, blind sacrifices to the altar, a sacrifice to God. And the Lord is displeased, and his anger burns against the people. And he says, my name will be great among the nations. Verse 11 of chapter 1. So immediately there we see the promise that's coming through. My name will be exalted. You are despising my name, but my name will be exalted. In actual fact, it will be exalted among the nations. Verse 11. And so, this is a book of judgment. It's a book of the corruption of the people who have wearied the Lord with their words. Chapter 2, verse 17. You say, how have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. So they're turning the word of God on its head. They're calling good evil and evil good. And the Lord is angry with his chosen people, with Jacob that he has called. And he says, return to me and I will return to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. And then we have this incredible text. It's in the context of the then that I bring this to you. The first verse, the first word in verse 16 says, then those who feared the Lord. There's a remnant. There's some who feared the Lord in the midst of this upheaval, in the midst of this prevailing bad climate, where there was people who spoke with their lips to honor God, but yet their words were different to their actions. And the Lord despised that. And he says, then those who feared the Lord, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Let us examine a few points that come out of this text. The first, so that my sermon is entitled The Great Gain of Godliness, and I give credit to Thomas Watson for a lot of the content. It has two points. The first point I want us to look at is the character of the godly. What is the character of the godly? The second point is, what are the good effects of their godliness? What are the good effects of their godliness? So to the first point, the character of the godly. What does a godly person look like? There's three things out of the text. Have a look there with me. They fear the Lord. The godly fear the Lord. The second thing they do is they speak to one another. They speak to one another. King James says they speak to one another often. The third thing they do is they esteem his name. Look at the end of verse 16. They fear the Lord who esteem his name. So they exalt his name. Right, so let's look at then the fear of the Lord. There's so much that we could be talking about here. I don't want us to do a topical study of it. It is the subject of many sermons, and hopefully we'll be able to examine it in time to come, maybe in a Bible hour or similar study. Let's look at the fear of the Lord. The first thing I want to look at when we look at the fear of the Lord, a characteristic of the godly, is an example. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 19 to 21. We have this picture of what is the Lord like that we should fear him. This fear of the Lord flows out of his character. It flows out of his attributes. It flows out of his attributes of majesty. It flows out of his attribute of justice, that he requires his law to be held and obeyed. It flows out of his holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, speaking about the mountain of Sinai, the people who, and I just want to pick up, I don't want to dive into that text, verse 19. And to the blast of the trumpet and the sound of the words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, for they could not bear the command. If a man or beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I'm full of fear and trembling. I'm full of fear and trembling. And that is a glimpse of what the Lord is like. And as sinful people, we cannot even approach him. He is so pure and so holy. I want us to turn quickly to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah's vision of the Lord seated on his throne. We won't have time to look at Ezekiel and Ezekiel's vision and Daniel and Daniel's vision of the same thing. But let's read from Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. and the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And we can't help but just finish the next two verses. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away and your sin is forgiven." He sees God seated on his throne, and what is his response? His sin comes to him. He is abased, he is flattened by his sin. Ezekiel falls on his face when he sees this. When he sees the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate glory, seated on the throne of God, he is ruined. He says, "I'm ruined." Immediately, what is your response? What is your response to the fear of God? Do you fear God? This is what we need to be thinking about. The fear of God causes us to see our sin, as it did for Isaiah in the temple. It is the duty of man to fear God. The second last verse of Ecclesiastes, and you're going to be moving through your scriptures tonight. There's tons more that we could cover on this topic. I cannot believe how rich the scripture is with it, and it is a central theme that comes right through the pages, from the old to the new. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, concluding his whole treatise of Ecclesiastes. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Fear God and keep his commandments. It is the duty of man to revere his name. Nehemiah 1:11. Nehemiah prays and he reveres the name of the Lord. He exalts the name of the Lord. He fears the name of the Lord. Let us look at Psalm 112, Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Now this is a psalm about the man who fears the Lord. But I want you to notice quickly, before we even read the whole psalm, verse 7, he will not fear evil tidings. So this is a contrast between the fear of man and the fear of uncertainty that comes upon the earth and the fear of God. So I'm urging you to fear God. Do you fear God? I'm asking you, do you fear God? At the same time, look what it does. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in the house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with a man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld, he will not fear. Until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries, he will be given freely to the poor. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Notice how in the psalm, the fear of the Lord produces stability. It produces a man of stability. People who are not swerved with prevailing winds, who don't change with shifting shadows, who don't adjust depending on who they're talking to, whose lives are consistent, whose hearts are steadfast, who has before them the Lord all of the time, who fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord causes them not to fear. Twice in the psalm it tells us they did not fear. They don't fear man. They don't fear change. They don't fear upheaval because they are certain. They are certain in the Lord. And this is the characteristic that we see of the people who fear God. We haven't got time to unpack the psalm completely, but I commend it to your reading. Thirdly, so firstly, the fear of God is God's separateness and holiness that causes us to fear him. The fear of the Lord is the duty of man, the second point. The third point is fear is the leading grace in the heart. So the thing that a new believer has before any other, before any understanding of faith or assurance of salvation, they have an understanding of the fear of the Lord. Where do you get that, Andre? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. A new believer will receive wisdom as they start to examine Scripture, and it is the beginning of wisdom. The first thing of wisdom is to fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear God? It causes us to flee to Christ. The fear of God causes us to see our sin. It causes us to flee to Christ for repentance. Because our response when we fear the Lord is the same as Isaiah's. We come face to face with our sin. We come face to face with our utter desperateness before a holy God, God of who is so different to us, who is so exalted that even the seraphim have wings to cover their faces. They are pure and holy beings. They don't have sin, but yet they have wings that cover their feet and wings that cover their faces. And with two wings, they do the duty of God. So four wings covering their bodies, an act of disposition of worship. And yet they are perfect. They are pure. They have no sin. So that's how different God is. And we should fear him. But yet what does man do? Man rejects. The vile man, the wicked person, the wayward person, has no fear of God. And this is the thing that we need to be examining. We need to be thinking about the fear of God. Do we fear the Lord? Those who fear the Lord, they speak often to one another. Let's go back to our text in Malachi. They speak to one another. My second characteristic of the godly, so First point is the character of the godly. First point was the fear of the Lord. They fear the Lord. Second point, they speak to one another. What do they speak to one another about? Well, isn't it amazing that some people, when you speak to them, they've got nothing to say. There's no spiritual content in their conversation. What is it that they like to speak about? When you start speaking about the fear of God, then they've got nothing to say, nothing to contribute. That is a warning bell. That is a warning light, because this text shows us. It says this: those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. What did they speak about? Well, they encourage one another. They speak about the things of God. They speak about the content of this book. They speak about the Lord, high and lifted up and exalted. In times of trouble, what do you speak about? You speak about the Lord. Because when you do that, you become like the psalmist, stable, fearless, not flustered by changing winds, not blown by winds of doctrine that are man-made. But yet we see they speak about the Lord. They speak often about the Lord. They come together. And how do they do that? They sit under the Word of God. This grace that you are experiencing right now, that we can sit and examine God's Word together and have His Word preached to you, is a grace that strengthens us. It brings us to a place of strength and stability. This is the attribute of a believer, to come before the Lord, to speak about Him, to exalt our Lord Jesus Christ, to talk about our great high priest who intercedes for us, as Etienne unpacked for us this morning. Because without an intercessor, we would be no different to the people of Israel on the mountain, so fearful that we would be running from the Lord. Notice then, they also esteem His name. His name is highly exalted, the third characteristic. His name is highly exalted. The next thing we need to look at is the good effects of their godliness. So what is the character of the godly? They fear the Lord, they speak to one another, and they esteem His name. The second point then is, what are these good effects of these godly people? What happens? Look at the text. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. So the first point there is, the Lord regarded it. Verse 16, He gave attention. The Lord gave attention to their speaking with one another. And then what does it say? It goes on to say, He recorded it. He wrote it down. A book of remembrance was written in verse 16. A book of remembrance. The Lord writes down a book of remembrance. It is a remarkable thing that the God of all knowledge would write something down. He writes it down. He records it. What is this indicating? This is not saying that God forgets, therefore He needs to write it down. That's not what it's about. It's saying it is so important that He has written it down. He values it highly, so He writes it down. Remember the story of Esther, how the Persians would write down the good deeds that were done by the people, the vassals of the place. And so they would write it down so that they would keep a record, so that they could reward them. The next thing, the Lord rewards it. So a book of remembrance is written down. And there are eight things that the Lord has writes down. And I want to quickly just run through these. Eight things the Lord writes down. Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, God does not forget your labor of love and work. He writes it down. He writes down the name, the first point that he writes down, the names of his saints. He writes down the names of those who are in the book of life. And Revelation 3 verse 5 says, this book has no errors. He doesn't remove anybody's name from it. Philippians 4 verse 3 tells us that he has a book of life whose names of his children he writes in it. The second thing he writes down is the speeches, the good speeches of his people. Verse 16, our very text says that. They spoke to one another, and he gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. He writes down their good speeches. It's so important that the Lord writes it down. He writes down the tears of his people. Psalm 56, verse 8. He remembers your tears. He remembers your thoughts. Isaiah 66, verse 18. He writes down the desires of his people. Psalm 38, verse 9. He writes down the prayers of his people. Jonah 2, verse 7. 1 Samuel 1, verse 13. He writes down the giving of his people, Acts 10, verse 4, and the sufferings of his people, Exodus 6, verse 5, and 1 Samuel 15, verse 2. The Lord remembers and he writes down a book of remembrance, a book of things that the Lord esteems. The next thing he does is he rewards us. The Lord rewards us. So he regards it. He gave attention to it. The Lord of hosts would give attention to the speaking of one another. Isn't that an amazing thing? That as we speak to one another, and all those one another passages in the New Testament that we've looked at over the years, he would esteem them and he would write them down. He regards it. He records it. He rewards it. And under the rewarding, let's look at 3 points. First of all, look at verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord. Says the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, the God of the multitude of angels. They are mine. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? Isn't that a comforting thing? The first thing that comes to my mind as I study this, there's comfort. There's comfort that you are called the possession of God when you esteem his name and you fear him because you flee to Christ. Your sin is paid for. Exactly what the angel did. Came to Isaiah and said, your lips are clean. Your sin is paid for. Your sin is forgiven. And we have that hope. We have such a great hope that our Lord has saved us, purchased us for his own, and we are his possession. We belong to him. That gives us great comfort and great hope. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can hurt you. You cannot be taken from his hand. You cannot lose your salvation. You are his possession. What hope and what comfort when the Lord says, you are mine, purchased with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing to notice in this reward is that God honors them. Okay, but before we move on to that, let's think about how does that relate to reward? God owns them. Well, if he owns us, that means we benefit in all that he owns. So we are partakers and beneficiaries of all that he owns. Doesn't that ring? Ephesians 1 is ringing in your head. That the Lord has such a great wealth that belongs to us, that he has given us, and that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the second thing is that God honors them. Look at the text. On that day I will prepare my own possession. He honors them because he prepares them for his own possession. And then thirdly, God will spare them from judgment. I will spare them as a man spares his own son. Spare them from what? Well, from that day of judgment. Chapter 4 talks about that. 4 verse 1, read there. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, verse 2, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing. There is a day. There is a great day. A great day of judgment coming. The wicked and evildoers will be cast into that furnace. They will set it ablaze. And it will be a terrible day, that. It's a fearful day. But the possession of the Lord, the jewel, the apple of his eye, his people that he has chosen and purchased with his blood, the Son of Righteousness, as it says in verse 2, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the light of the world. He will take for himself this great possession, his people, and we as his people will not experience the same judgment. In actual fact, we are prepared as a jewel, a special, precious jewel in his sight before the Lord. Look at the end of our text, verse 18. Look at the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. There's the contrast. Do you serve the Lord? Is it noticeable that you are fearing the Lord, that you esteem his name, that you speak often with one another, that you are different to the world in that you fear him, and because you do that, you have stability. Because you do that, you exalt his name, you worship him in spirit and in truth, not in words. What are your actions going to be tomorrow? Are you going to demonstrate that you are purchased with his blood, that you fear his name, knowing that he is there with you, that he records your words, knowing that he is exalted, that he is going to judge the living and the dead? I end with these words. Those who fear the Lord spoke to one another and gave attention and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him. And those who fear the Lord and esteem his name will become his great possession. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed